From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. You can start drawing Social Security benefits at age 62, 4 or 5 years before full retirement age. Sounds pretty sweet to many people until they realize they're locking in the smallest possible benefit, which could leave them short of funds if they live to a ripe old age. Webster Phillips, with the advocacy group the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, describes a letter from an 87-year-old woman who told him,
"I'm losing a lot of money, and I'm losing it every year for the rest of my life. Is there anything that I can do to undo the decision that I made when I was 62? And regrettably, there isn't any way of undoing that decision once it's been made.
Then, what's Maryland doing to help workers who don't have a savings plan at work? Both on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. About half of Americans retire by the time they reach age 65. That includes people who have been longing to retire and act as soon as they see a financial path, as well as those who would prefer to hold on to the rewards of work but get hit with serious health problems, family obligations, or job loss. Many of them don't know they're taking a big budgetary hit if they draw Social Security benefits early. The nonprofit advocacy group, the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, ran an ad campaign in Baltimore and four other cities called Delay and Gain. Here's how it opens its video message.
I don't know, 63, 64, something like that. Haven't thought about it much. Guess I ought to think about that.
I'll probably wait until I'm eligible for full benefits. I think I can hang on till then, and then I definitely want to retire.
I've been working since I was 16 years old, and I'm going to retire as soon as I get a chance.
My husband had a stroke, and I'm his main caretaker now. So I really can't work anymore, so I'm going to file for Social Security as soon as I'm eligible.
That's part of a campaign by the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Webster Phillips is senior legislative representative for the nonprofit. He lives in Baltimore, and he's here with me in the studio. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you, Sheila. I'm pleased to be here.
How much of a financial hit are we talking about when people take Social Security early?
Well, expressed as a percentage, it can be pretty impressive. The exact dollar amount, of course, depends on what your Social Security benefit is. But let's assume,
which depends on your work history.
Right, which is also dependent on your work history. But let's assume that you have a $1,000 Social Security benefit coming to you if you waited until your full retirement age, which let's say is age 66. If you take that benefit at age 62, you're going to take a 25% reduction, which means instead of getting $1,000, you'll get $750. If you wait until you're 70, that $1,000 benefit is going to grow to be $1,320. So if you compare $750 to $1,320, that's about a 76% difference.
Why are benefits less if I take them early?
The notion is that that everybody who receives Social Security benefits should get about the same amount of money out of the trust funds, irrespective of when they started to get it. So if you retire at 62, you take a reduction for early retirement. If you wait until you're 66, there's no reduction. But if you delay even further until you're 70, then there's a 32% increase in your benefit to compensate you for the fact that you forewent 3 years' worth of benefits that you otherwise could have received.
So Social Security is looking at it as sort of stretching the same amount of money for each person over more years.
That's right. And it's based on their actuarial tables and their projections about life expectancy, longevity. These are all factors that work into the formula that was used to come up with the reduction factors.
Your campaign says the impact can be especially dramatic for women.
That's true. Women go into retirement with less likely to have pensions, less
private
likely
pensions.
To have private pensions, less likely to have savings. And if they do have savings, it's less because their income has been less throughout their working history. Social Security plays a really important role in helping to make up for some of those deficits in retirement. So having the largest possible Social Security benefit is a plus for women, but for anyone who's going into retirement. Because remember, the Social Security benefit, unlike almost any other stream of income that you may have in retirement, is indexed for inflation. So it's not going to be eroded by rising cost of living, unlike money that you may have in the bank or in a savings account.
But no matter when you claim, you get that inflation protection,
this is
right?
True, irrespective. But the higher the benefit that you get, the bigger the dollar increase that you realize when the cost of living adjustment is applied. So it's like...
Because it's a percentage.
Right. 2% of $1,500 is more than 2% of $1,000.
As you know, some people make a completely different analysis than yours. And I guess they're looking at these actuarial tables you mentioned from Social Security. If you run the numbers, comparing someone who starts taking benefits at age 62 to someone who waits until age 70, it will take 9 years for that second retiree to collect as many dollars as the retiree who starts collecting early. The crossover point is at age 79. So if I think I'm going to do a better job investing those dollars than the government, shouldn't I claim early?
Well, you could, but the thing to keep in mind is how long. This is one of the important questions you have to ask yourself when you're thinking about claiming Social Security benefits is, how long am I going to live? How far into retirement am I going to be collecting Social Security? And while the actuarial reductions that factor into the reduction of your Social Security benefit are based on aggregate experience, there's an increasing percent of Americans who make it to age 90. I believe it's projected somewhere in the neighborhood of 30% of people today are going to make it into their 90s. So if you make it into your 90s, you're going to be well past that break-even point that you were talking about. So in considering what to do in terms of filing for Social Security benefits, one of the factors you have to take into account is what you believe your longevity is likely to be. How long did my mother live? How long did my father live? What about other family members? And bring that into your calculus along with such things as, do you need the money? If you need the money now, well then, you know, enough said, you file the claim. But if you have the flexibility, either in the form of a job or you've got savings that you can rely on, asking yourself the question, how long am I going to live, is, I think, really an essential factor in figuring out what to do with Social Security claiming.
That's Webb Phillips, Senior Legislative Representative with the nonprofit National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. We're talking about the committee's campaign called Delay and Gain to persuade people to hold off claiming their Social Security benefits. So what do you tell people who basically agree with your analysis, but they lose their job in their 50s or early 60s, and it's hard to get another employer to look at them? Do you have any advice? Do you have any approach they can take? You said a few minutes ago, that's the decision. If you got a claim, you claim.
Well, I think that losing your job and needing the income that Social Security provides sort of answers the question. The reason that age 62 is available is because when they were developing Social Security back in the early days, actually this was done in the early 1960s, asked the question, what about people who can't make it to retirement age? And, well, we're going to give them the flexibility of filing early if they choose to do so, and then we're going to put into the Social Security Act the reduction factors that come with early retirement. Prior to 1962, only women could choose to retire early. But in 1962, the option was extended to both men and women. So, I mean, lose your job, you don't have savings to live on. That's what Social Security is there for, to help you make it through that difficult transition.
So it started as an exception, but it is now kind of when most people claim, isn't
it? It is. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 57% of individuals claim Social Security before they reach their full retirement age. And that's actually an improvement. If you were to go back 20, 25 years, you would find that a much higher percentage of people claimed benefits as early on as possible.
Last month, a group of economists estimated the total of money that early filers will never claim, what they're basically foregoing by those smaller benefits over the course of however long they live, estimated at $3.4 trillion. Trillion. That's a lot of money retirees are leaving on the table. You are the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Isn't this good for Social Security's financial picture?
Well, I think we look at the Social Security from the perspective of how it enriches the lives of our country's seniors. We don't think about that making changes to Social Security or encouraging behavior solely for the purpose of protecting the solvency of the program is a good idea. It's what's good for seniors is what we are advocating for. And that loss that you describe, huge in the aggregate. I had a letter not so long ago from a lady who wrote to us and said, I filed for Social Security when I was 62, and I'm now 87, and I'm losing a lot of money. She had figured her own break-even point. I'm losing a lot of money, and I'm losing it every year for the rest of my life. Is there anything that I can do to undo the decision that I made back in when I was 62? And regrettably, there isn't any way of undoing that decision once it's been made. But she had very clearly calculated the effect of early claiming on her own payout from the Social Security program, if you will, and it had been considerably reduced because she took early retirement and enjoyed a very long life. At 87, she's still writing these perfectly lucid, complicated letters, which I just loved the letter. It was such a manifestation of her understanding.
Do you have any sense of how many people are kind of the reverse? They file early because they just don't expect Social Security to be available late in their retirement, or they expect benefits to be cut anyway, so they want to grab what they can when they can.
We've certainly read that articles that where people say these sorts of things. And, you know, it's a way of looking at the Social Security program, grab the money now in case the trust funds are depleted in 15 years or thereabouts, and they cut the benefits by 20%. But that seems to us not a good way of looking at the program or at the future. We believe that eventually the Congress will do what it has always done, which is to find a way to protect Social Security, both for current beneficiaries and for those who come on the program in the future. I hope I am not sounding overly Pollyanna-ish in my belief, but, you know, I spent quite a few years working on Social Security issues. Going back to 1976, when I was first hired by the agency, I spent 20 years working in the legislative office, and I've just never observed the Congress to handle Social Security in any way other than a responsible and intelligent fashion.
On that optimistic note, Webb Phillips, thanks for talking to us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Webb Phillips is Senior Legislative Representative with the nonprofit National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to the committee's Delay and Gain website, including a calculator to help people envision how claiming benefits at different ages could change their financial picture. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break here on The Record. When we're back, what's Maryland doing to help workers do their own saving for retirement? Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. No matter how well you manage your Social Security benefits, it'll be a pretty sparse retirement unless you've got personal savings to draw on. Half of all private sector employees in Maryland have no retirement savings and no savings program at work. Maryland tried to address the issue 3 years ago when the General Assembly passed and Governor Hogan signed the Maryland Small Business Retirement Savings Program. The idea is to create a way for employees of small businesses to save through payroll deduction without creating a financial or administrative burden for small business owners. It's got a catchy name, Maryland Saves, one word with a dollar sign standing in for the S in the middle. But it hasn't actually started operating yet. We asked the chair of its board, Josh Gottbaum, to tell us what Maryland Saves is supposed to do and when workers will be able to start saving. Gottbaum is former CEO of the Federal Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which insures the private pensions of 40 million workers. Now he's a guest scholar with the Retirement Security Project at the Brookings Institution in Washington. Welcome to On the Record.
Nice to be here.
How will Maryland Saves work?
The idea of Maryland Saves is the one that you just said, Sheila, which is if people have a way to save for retirement at work, they do it. And if they don't, they don't. The challenge is that most small businesses aren't big enough and don't want to go through the hassle and the cost of setting up a full retirement plan. So what the Maryland Saves is trying to do is to set up an automated system that makes it automatic and easy for small businesses to automatically enroll their employees and automatically allow them to deduct from their paycheck to save for retirement, and then to take that money, have it be professionally invested, and have it be always available for them, even if they change jobs when they retire. So there are two tricks to this. One is it has to be easy enough so that small businesses that thus far have said, I don't want the hassle and I don't want the cost, nonetheless say, yeah, that's something I'll do. Secondly, it has to be clear enough and easy enough so that when employees are automatically enrolled in this program, they don't say, I want to stop, I want to get out. So that's what we're trying to do. We think that with modern technology, it ought to be a lot easier and a lot cheaper to set up a retirement plan than it was 5 or 10 years ago. And so we're optimistic that what we can offer the small businesses of Maryland is something that is so inexpensive to hook up to their payroll systems that they'll do it. And the state has generously offered a $300 per business incentive to sign up.
So businesses don't have to sign up. Small businesses don't have to take part.
The law has no penalty for not signing up. The law says any business that doesn't offer a retirement plan should sign up, but there's no penalty for not doing so. And what the state decided is that it would offer a carrot, a $300 incentive to sign up rather than a stick.
I understand that if a business does take part, its workers will be automatically included in Maryland Saves unless they opt out. Explain that.
When we study what it takes for people to save, it turns out that the most important thing is that they not have to do a whole lot of work themselves. There are plenty of perfectly good retirement savings programs out there, but it turns out that most people, if they have to go online or go to a bank or go to an insurance company or go to that, and fill out a lot of forms, just never get around to it. And so what we're doing is we're making it automated. And so we're going to set it up that an employee is automatically enrolled, and unless they say, no, I don't want that, savings will be automatically deducted from their paycheck. Now, in every case, each person is going to be told, you've been automatically enrolled in the Maryland Saves program. If you don't change it, a certain amount of your pay, maybe 5%, will be automatically saved for you for retirement. If you want to save a different amount, you can do it easily online or over the phone. If you want to opt out of the program entirely, you can do it easily online or over the phone. And so what we're trying to do is make the path of least resistance enabling people to save for retirement. Because as you pointed out at the beginning, Sheila, that Social Security, although the bedrock of retirement in America, for most people, Social Security doesn't cover nearly the expenses that they have in retirement. They need to have some kind of retirement savings program. And unfortunately, about half of the working people in Maryland, those who are working full-time, don't have it because their employers don't offer it. And so we're trying to serve that group of people, make it easy for them to save. And what I hope is that sometime next year we will be up and running and enrolling, you know, tens of thousands of businesses and hundreds of thousands of Marylanders.
Will there be an employer match in Maryland Saves?
Not in this program. And under the law, in order to keep this simple, we haven't complicated it, and the law doesn't permit an employer match. So for this program, the way it's currently set up, there won't be an employer match. Over time, if it gets easy and if technology enables us to allow for an employer match, if the employer wants to do it, then we'll make that change. But right now, we can't.
Will workers get a tax break on their savings?
Yes. The tax break comes for these kinds of savings plans. The tax break comes as the plans, as the investments make money. These are what are called Roth IRAs. And in a Roth IRA, individual retirement account, you put in money, you don't get a tax deduction for putting the money in, but all of the earnings on the money is tax-free, so that when you take the money out, there's no tax on that.
That's Josh Gottbaum, chair of the Maryland Small Business Retirement Savings Program, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the state setting up a payroll deduction savings plan to help employees of small businesses save for retirement. It's called Maryland Saves. A handful of other states, I think 10 altogether, are setting up similar programs. Are any of them up and running?
Three are. Oregon has been up and running now for several years. Illinois has been running, is phasing up, and California just started. They started actually 3 weeks ago. So those three states are up and running. I think Maryland and Connecticut will be the next ones to be up and running. So we hope both states hope to be up and running next year.
And is there a difference in Maryland's approach compared to other states?
Yes. In the other states, they essentially said small businesses are required to do this if they don't have a retirement plan, and there's a penalty if they don't. In Maryland, members of the legislature, both Republican and Democratic, said we'll support this program if it doesn't have a penalty. If it's not a mandate. And so we designed the program so that there is an incentive for small businesses to apply, but there's no penalty for them not to.
What kind of market research have you done to gauge how interested small businesses are in taking part in this?
There have been a variety of surveys, partly to judge what reception is from small businesses, and also partly to figure out what are their concerns. And actually, just this week, the state government of Maryland is sending out a survey to the small businesses of Maryland saying, we are going to do this program. Help us design it. Tell us what benefits you see from this. Tell us what issues you see so that we can address them, et cetera. That's going to be sent out. The state is actually sending that survey out to small businesses beginning this week, I believe.
Thanks for walking us through it.
My pleasure.
Josh Gottbaum chairs the board that's setting up Maryland Saves, which is envisioned as a way for employees of small businesses to save for retirement through payroll deductions with minimal burdens on small business owners. We have a link to its website at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Come back tomorrow to celebrate Baltimore's 290th birthday with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.